Governor of the Colorado High School Activities Association, good friend, called many a game with this guy. Mike Krueger joins us. Good morning, Mike. How are you, man?
Well, happy Friday, Mr. Davis. It's great to talk to you. Great way to kick off the weekend here in a little bit. But, yeah, happy Friday. Glad to be with you.
So, Mr. Krueger, am I going to have to call you Mr. Krueger now as you called me Mr. Davis? I feel like it's very formal, Mike. Michael, it's very formal.
I know, very formal.
So how's it been?
Jim, I think back to a number of those games we called. There were some good times, some long road trips, too, if I recall correctly. There were some good times that calling those games.
There were a few of those long road trips going to call games, too, Mike. But so how's it been, Mike?
Yeah.
I know you did the article for the local paper, and I think you used the term reinvigorated. And I know that you thoroughly enjoyed your time working at USA Football. But I know getting back to Colorado was really important. We talked about that. Some of these things we covered when we spoke previously. But it has to be. I know you're a guy that loves a challenge, and taking over CHASS is a big, big challenge. But how's it been, the adjustment kind of hitting the ground running as now the commissioner of CHASS?
You know, I really, it's just been amazing. It's been a great opportunity to get reconnected with many long term friendships and relationships I've had, and then get to establish some new ones with new athletic directors and folks that are new in the school space, coaches and principals and superintendents, and folks that are just great stakeholders in Colorado prep athletics and activities. And to be honest with you, it's been reinvigorating from the standpoint of, you know personally, being friends for so long, my passion for high school athletics and activities, and it really has been a great opportunity to reconnect in the state. And the challenges are of course there, but they're awesome challenges. And I think the thing that I've enjoyed the most, and that's been the most rewarding since coming back, is just the feeling of togetherness that I've got with the team here at CHASS. The staff is just amazing, so dedicated, so passionate about wanting to serve the membership. And then, reconnecting with the schools and the communities in Colorado, and getting a feel for what the challenges are that they're facing every day, and jumping in the boat and rowing alongside them and saying, hey, how can we tackle these together? So it's been an action-packed 3 months. We've gotten off to a great start, and we hope that we can continue. There certainly have been speed bumps along the way as we're learning and growing, and we're going to get better as we go. But I really couldn't be happier 3 months in.
CHASS Commissioner Mike Krueger with us today on the Team Sports Network. Was it a case, Mike, when you, because I mean, I use the term hit the ground running, which isn't necessarily true. Yeah. I mean, you spend some time being around the folks at CHASS, but in terms of taking over, boom, I mean, it all of a sudden it's there, and you're in the thick of things. But was there, when you walked in the door, was it, I just need to kind of get the lay of the land, get a sense of what things I'd like to prioritize, things I want to put a focus on? Or did you have kind of a, you know, some presidents talk about having a 100-day plan that they have.
Yeah.
You as the commissioner of CHASS, did you have a plan? These are things I want to address right out of the gate. How did that process work for you?
Yeah. No, that's a really great question. I tell you, it's a little bit of both, because as part of the 100-day plan, for lack of a better term, was to sit down and get a lay of the land. That was one of the very first strategy priority items. So as part of the interview process, one of the things that I really thought the board of directors did a great job on, they asked candidates to put together a 1- and 3-year strategic vision document. So I did that, not just as I was preparing the one that I put together, I really put effort into it to think, I don't want to just use this for an interview. This is really what I think and what I feel. And so I outlined primary strategic priorities. And one of those was, you know, really to communicate and connect with the membership, because you're coming in, you know, and I spent the bulk of 27, 30 years in Colorado working in that space. But just because I had done that didn't mean that I was going to come in with answers right away for every issue and problem and challenge that we were having. And what worked for me at some point as an athletic and activities director may or may not work at this time. What they needed to do was come in and be vulnerable enough as a leader to listen and really get a handle on what these challenges are. So we identified things like, and what I've come to learn is the strategic priorities that I had envisioned from talking to my colleagues and spending some time with the National Federation of High Schools and their staff and the friendships I developed there. The priorities were in line and really met up when the team, we continue to this day to talk about those and how we're going to address them. But we'd outline things such as, you know, the official shortage, the crisis we have there, such as the mental health of our student athletes and coaches. And then, of course, like I said, how do we connect and communicate with our membership? And so we've really attacked those issues and said, how can we do those things? And jumped on board, and you know, so it's been great from that. So I would really tell you that I think the best thing in regards to coming in with a 100-day plan, the top thing on the plan was to do what you said, sit down, make sure I get around to talking with ADs and school community leaders, going to meetings with superintendents and leagues and talking to ADs and finding out where they're at, what are the challenges you're facing, and are we in, you know, how can we attack this thing together?
Chaska Commissioner Mark Krueger with us today on the Team Sports Network. You mentioned the officials crisis,
yeah.
And it really is. It's kind of turning into a crisis all mm-hmm. across the country, not just in Colorado. I called the Fruit of Monument Bear Creek game last night. Ran to Bernie Goss, who's been involved with officials for decades now, and he jokingly said, "So when do you want to come out and work a game, Jim?" And I said, I'd love to, but I kind of get this other thing going on right now. And I don't know how good of an official I would be, but I mean, that's where we are right now. We resort to Jim Davis being an official. Things are very dire. Mike, how do we address this? Because it has become a problem. We're now seeing games have to be shifted to days where officials are more available to do it. And it's not just a football problem. It's an official issue across the board in all sports. And we've had Chuck Nissen on talking about it as well here locally. What can Chaska do to help with this? Because it's tough to find people that want to go out and call games now and work games.
No question. And I would tell you, for us, I think it is the primary issue that we're facing right now. I think in terms of everything that we've got with challenges, you know, and when we talk about challenges, there's many great things happening, but we know that right now officials are with recruiting and retaining officials is a huge issue across the country. Colorado is no exception. We're feeling it. And I appreciate that you said it's in all sports, because it is. It's in all sports and it's all levels. So it's something I would tell you that I don't think a day in the office that I'm not talking with new Assistant Commissioner Mike Book, who's in charge of officials and this programming. And we strategize. We have plans in place. We've already implemented a few new things that we think are having immediate effect, but we have the guess the thing I'd tell you is that to answer your question, there's no short-term magic wand strategy, but it's going to take some short-term planning and some things we can do right away. But there's also a need to think about this in the long term. How can we really start to affect systematically some change to recognize the value that officials bring to our sports and to our athletic programs? Because the fact is we don't have them. We aren't able to fulfill our mission if we don't have officials partnering with us in this venture. So we've identified a few things. We know that Colorado, we're challenged with, our pay for our officials is not in line with where it needs to be nationally. So we are working on that right now. We've got some things in the works. Obviously, that's something that takes a little time, because we need to involve our school personnel, because that's something that, you know, is going to obviously affect school budgets. But we need to also work with our officials. And so what we've done, and next week will be our first one, but we immediately organized an officials task force that is bringing stakeholders from all different backgrounds, from officials to assigners to school personnel to folks that have a stake in this whole thing, and we're bringing them to the table and sitting down, and we think we're at a point, we know what the problems are, but we need to start addressing and grabbing solutions that are going to work. And so we have that. Our first meeting is next week. Mike Book is running that, and we're working with that team along with our tournament playoff finance committee and our officials fees committee here at Chaska, but we're leaning on those committees as well. So we're addressing the pay issue right out of the gates and working with schools and officials on that. And then, Jim, the other one you know is fan behavior. It's sporting yeah. behavior, and we talk about it. And happened to be at a meeting last week with the executive director of the National Federation of High Schools, Dr. Carissa Niehoff, and we said, you know, we talked about sportsmanship, and in some ways that term gets watered down a little bit. We have really got to come together and realize that we, keeping officials here, we've got to address the fan behavior concerns, and that's a challenge.
No doubt about it. I mean, that plays a big role in it. I mean, pay's one thing, but nobody's signing up to get verbally abused by somebody, you know, on a Friday night, because they're out there doing this not because they're making a fortune, but because they care about high school athletics and they want to be involved and they love sports. And yeah, it's sad, and it's fan behavior is a big part of the problem in regard to officials. Chassa Commissioner Mike Krueger with us today on the Team Sports Network. Something else I want to talk about, Mike. I saw an article in the Wall Street Journal about the decline of girls basketball across the country. It's down 19% since 2002. And you're kind of thinking, well, wait a minute. The women's NCAA tournament's now on more equal footing with the men's tournament. The exposure continues to grow. WNBA as well. But girls' basketball has dropped 7% since 2019. Overall, boys and girls' sports, the decline's about 4% since the pandemic.
Yeah.
But, I mean, when you hear some of these numbers, it's kind of shocking, because you would think girls' basketball would be as healthy as it's ever been. And there seems to be a variety of factors. Club sports that want players to focus on maybe volleyball or soccer as opposed to basketball. Some girls feel like basketball is maybe a more difficult sport to master in terms of skills and things like that. I guess, Mike, when you see something like that, what's your takeaway as the commissioner of Chassa when you hear numbers like that?
Well, first, I mean, obviously we want to see participation growth in all of our sports and for all genders. But it is concerning. And the drop-off, as you mentioned, the drop-off in overall participation is something that we're concerned about. The NFHS just a couple weeks ago put out the first participation study we've seen in a couple years, and that was good to follow in that. We did notice some trends there. But as far as what I think, Jim, you said it, and again, I'll speak, this is my personal opinion, I'm speaking on behalf of Chassa here, but
sure.
I think you said it. I worry sometimes about, and this is, I'll tie this back to the work I did at USA Football. We get so worried out of the gates at young ages of teaching the sport that we focus and we have these expectations of real young athletes that they're going to learn the sport, and we drive the sport home so much that we forget about making the game enjoyable, something they just want to be part of. We forget about the intangible and inherent benefits of just basic foundation. Move our young athletes, and we start to try to develop the basketball player instead of developing the athlete. And that, by a certain age, you know, girls get turned off because, you know, to sport. It was happening a lot. We saw the trend, you know, or they're asked to specialize at a certain age. And if you're not good enough, then there's no option for you to go anywhere else.
Right.
And we lose them. They, you know, and it's a shame. So one of the things I'm super proud of, and I know, again, going back to strategic priorities, we remain fully committed to expanding opportunities for involvement for our girls. I think you might have read recently that we've just partnered with the Denver Broncos to pilot girls flag football in the state. We have 25 teams already in three pilot districts with hundreds of girls that are playing flag football. In fact, I'll be out there tomorrow supporting that. And so growing opportunities for participation. Now, we'd like to see that we can do that without reducing numbers in a different sport. But what I don't want to say is we're losing basketball players because they're all going to other things. But the expansion of that opportunity for our girls in wrestling, in flag football, and in other activities, we want to continue to do that, but see all of those numbers continue to grow. But I would tell you that when we start to see those kind of declines, to me, the thing at the high school is we've got to look at the pool of players that's coming up. And if we're turning players away by the time they're in seventh and eighth grade, and we aren't, it's going to be a challenge to get them back. We've got to support youth programs in our communities, recreation programs that do such a great job, but also support the education of coaches at the youth level so they're building relationships with kids and developing athletes, not just specific sport players.
Chassa Commissioner Mike Krueger with us today on the Team Sports Network. You mentioned Mike Book. Mike's from Gunnison. Yeah. He's your assistant commissioner. Steamboat Springs AD Luke DeWolf is the president of the Chassa Board of Directors, so you know where I'm going with this. You've referenced, I think, in the article in the paper, is the Western Slope takeover It's more like a Western Slope Mafia, I think. But, I mean, for all years over here on this side of the hill, we've talked about how the Chass of the Eastern Slope doesn't care about us. And now I think, in whether there's some truth maybe to some of that, I think probably just us maybe, you know, blowing some things out of proportion there in some of those situations. Yeah. But certainly with your involvement with Mike Book and Luke DeWolf, I mean, there definitely is a Western Slope perspective now at Chassa that I don't think we've maybe ever seen.
Well, I'm of course I'm proud of that, you know, and I'm proud of the individuals that are part of this team. And I'll tell you what, Luke DeWolf has done just an absolutely amazing job. I mean, he served as the Western Slope League president for so many years, and then the job he's done as the president of Chassa has. I wish I could express to you the value that he has brought to this organization in terms of his leadership and how he guided and assisted Rhonda in guiding us through difficult times the last 2 years. Those two did such an amazing job. But I'm so honored to be in this role at this time with Luke. I know it's his last year of the presidency here at Chassa, but my gosh, has he done so many good things. And he definitely, you know, the cool thing about Luke is, yes, he has a Western Slope perspective, just like Mike Book does. And then Mike, you know, of course, went over and was the principal at Wiggins High School. They bring a varied background of experience. I mean, Luke, you know, so yes, we definitely understand the challenges. And I'll tell you, it was awesome. I had a call the other day. I was on the phone with a few principals from small schools down south and out in the southeast corner of the state. And we were talking and we were discussing a challenge that was going on. It was really great because with the conversation, I was able to say, hey, I know the challenge. I've had to face the issues with travel. And they were able to respond back, yeah, I know you do. You were on the West Slope for 20 some years. And it was really helpful in the conversation because it gave me an immediate opportunity to be empathetic, but have a credibility with them that was really helpful, you know, because they do know. Luke knows the challenges. Mike Book knows the challenges. He's been in small and rural areas and been now in bigger areas, you know, and having the experiences there. So I definitely think we bring a perspective that can say, been there, I understand. Whether that's West Slope or it's out east or down way down south, up in the northwest corner of the state, we've been there. And that does help, you know.
Mike Krueger.
But I would say this, Jim, we're super proud to be from the Western Slope at the same time.
Well, so, yeah, and look, and it's, exactly. And look, I think it's great that, you know, because everybody went when, number one, they know you and over here and they're thrilled for you and couldn't find a better guy to be the next person in charge of Chassa. But having your Western Slope connections, like, okay, now, look, it's not every problem is going to get fixed because that's impossible to fix every problem. But at least the feeling is with your experience being over here, Mike Book, Luke DeWolf, you guys know the challenges of coaching on the Western Slope, travel, all the things that go into that, and that at least consideration is being made to some of the concerns from over here. Concerns I'm sure you raised on the committees that you were on, Mike, when you were the athletic director at Palisade. And so I think I think people feel like, hey, at least there's voices there near the top of the ladder that are listening to people on this side of the hill. And I think that's really important.
No question. I would throw one other thing in there, Jim.
Sure, go ahead.
For the West Slope, Paul Kane is such a strong voice for Western Slope athletics and so many good leaders that way. But Paul has set such a great reputation in the state, and his voice has been strong
Absolutely.
And wise for so many years. And that's another one. So.
Yeah, we want to give Paul, you know, his just due because he has served on a ton of committees and still, you know, is a very strong voice for the Western Slope as far as high school athletics go. A couple things I got to ask you about. I know this is not happen on your watch, but what's the deal with some of these bland high school football league names? 4A League 7, 4... Where's the creativity of the Foothills League or the Mountain League? I get it's probably because things are changing so much every 2 years, then why come up with some cute, clever, cool name for a league because it's probably going to change the next two-year cycle. But I've had people go, what is the deal with some of these names? It's like, well, League 7. People are unhappy that the old Western Slope League at the 3A level, that became the Central West, and now it's something else, and I'm not even sure at the moment what it is right now the Palisades playing in. Give me your take on that, because I know that a lot of that happened before you ever, of course, took over as Chassa commissioner.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's such a funny, you know, when I was saying that the commissioner sometimes doesn't have all the answers, I'm going to bleep this one.
Okay, that's all right.
I could tell you on that. You know what's funny is I was talking, there's times in the staff meetings, we have a weekly staff meeting, all staff and then an admin team staff meeting, and we're talking right now about about league classification and realignment and stuff, and there's things like, the team will go, will we do this now, or this happen? And I will go, when did that happen? And so, like, some of these names, I'm like, when did that league come? Who named that league?
What, you know? The heck is that?
You know, it's funny.
Exactly.
We kind of laugh about it as a staff, but
okay, well,
you're right.
Yeah.
We got to get better.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I get it if you're switching teams around all the time, and there's been a lot of that, particularly with football the last few years. But yeah, just our take around here is like, can't they come up with some better names than just 4A generic League 5 or something like that?
So League A,
League B, and League C. Did get a text today because I was referencing Sarah McLachlan earlier. For some reason, we're talking about Sarah McLachlan, the Canadian singer. And this came up, this actually came from somebody that you know, one Jared Frazier, that's coaching over Grand Junction High School. That he learned of your love for Sarah McLachlan on the way home from Moffitt County. Is that true, or is that just a damn lie from Jared Frazier that you love Sarah McLachlan?
Oh, Frazier. I can't deny it. Frazier's right. I do. I am a fan of Sarah McLachlan. I haven't listened to it for a long time. Probably, I will remember this about the Moffitt County trip, and Frazier probably remember this, but on the way to that trip, those guys made us listen to a stand-up comedian at the time was brand new, and it's Larry the Cable Guy, right?
Oh, yeah.
So at the time, we're driving up, and I'm laughing so hard, I literally have to pull the van over because it was so funny. So on the way home, I thought, maybe we got to listen to something that mellows everybody out and lets them sleep a little bit. So, no, wishing Frazier has been great. I loved coaching him. What a great, he's not a young man anymore, but he's just a great gentleman, great heart. And it's exciting to see some of those, you know, the players and guys that, of course, I was, and gals that I was, involved with and coached and, to see them doing those things, you know, with Landon at Junction now, and of course Joe's still doing a great job at Palisade, and see Frazier coaching, and that's always such a neat thing to sit back as a guy who's getting up there in age now, Jim, you know, but watching these guys just have so much great.
Don't say that, Mike. Don't say that. We're not getting up there. We're still 25, right? Yeah. Well, at least we like to tell ourselves that, right? Yeah. We lie to ourselves a lot.
You betcha.
I do have one question here from Paul, and I hope you don't mind me, one of our listeners that wanted me to ask you this. And he said that, you know, he officiated 5A high school football for 15 years in Denver. He said he told the local director of officials I would do it here in the Grand Valley, but I don't want to drive all over the Western Slope. I don't care about pay. I was told that was not possible at all, and I had to travel the entire Western Slope. He had thoughts on that. Of course, we're talking about Bernie Goss and Chuck Nissen that do that here locally. Typically, you are kind of required to work other, because we had one of the officials on the Fruita crew last night was from Montrose. So, I mean, you are asked to do some amount of traveling. So if you can address that for Paul, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, it's one of the things we're looking at. It's, it isn't just the base rate of pay, but the travel stipends that go with it. And because of the situation that we're in, you know, we do have to mix and match a lot. It used to be you kind of got together with a crew and you travel with the crew, and everybody'd ride with, one driver, to the game. I think it's a situation that, because of the situation we're in with the shortages, having to cover larger swaths of area and mix teams up a little bit, and that goes with all the other challenges we're having with having to move games to other nights. I will tell you this, though, speaking of that, and you mentioned the West Slope, representation, Chuck Nissen is on that officials task force for us, here, that'll be happening next week. So we're excited about that because of questions like that we need to help support, our officials when we're asking them to travel around, and go to different places, and how are we going to help offset those costs for them?